Blog Talk Radio. family. How's everybody doing out there? All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. It is my pleasure and my joy to present to you episode 90 of this show. I'm like, oh, I got all excited when I was like, oh, my goodness, episode 90. Okay, we've been doing this for a minute, family. You know, I have to first just thank Dr. James Winborn and the Reverend Ron Robinson for allowing me to have this platform. We've been rocking for a few years now, and, you know, we just get bigger and better and better and bigger as time goes by. So I give thanks to them for allowing me to have this show. I am looking forward to, of course, presenting many more to you. But tonight we will go in on several things that you may very well be interested in. It's been a very interesting week. So many things going on in the world. And, you know, just like I said, I usually say, fasten your chin strap because I'm getting ready to go in. I just want to just touch real quickly on a piece of last week's episode. There's a couple of pieces. But the first piece I want to talk about was when I was breaking down the whole situation with the Playboy Empire and Hugh Hefner and how a lot of people just, you know, admired him and thought he was this wonderful individual. And like I said, he basically was a major pimp with a lot of hoes, all right? And a lot of the hoes are white, okay? Real talk. I don't think he had one melanin-dominant partner, okay? He might have had some bunnies that were melanin-dominant, but not really in terms of his partners. And so he was married a few times, interestingly enough. He was married to Mildred Williams first from 1949. They divorced in 1959. Then he married Kimberly Conrad in 1989 and divorced in 2010. Married Crystal Harris from 2010 through 2012. And then he had a series of partners, if you will. And we're going way back, y'all. I don't know if y'all even remember Barbie Benson, but Barbie Benson was from 1969 to 1976. Sandra Theodore from 1976 to 1981, Brandi Roderick from 1999 to 2000, Holly Madison from 2001 to 2008, Bridget Marquardt from 2002 to 2009, Isabella St. James from 2002 to 2004, and Kendra Wilson from 2004 to 2008. And let's not forget those twins, okay, because the twins were like the last hurrah. In any event, he has four children, including Christy and Cooper. So I wanted to touch on that because, and y'all were hilarious last week when y'all were sending me comments. Oh, my gosh, y'all had me chuckling. Because, again, most of the time when you put the image of a pimp in someone's head, if you even say the word pimp, you're thinking about usually a melanin-dominant man, a black man with a cane, with a gold tip, a chalice, fur coats, big sunglasses, you know, Cadillacs and, you know, big cars and all that kind of stuff. And this was not that. This was a wealthy, slightly introverted white man who could not really get a woman to really, really care for him, okay? And so when he launched Playboy, that was his way of being able to satisfy all of his sexual desires, regardless of who cared, regardless of any of the rights of these women, any of these things. And so I received a lot of this information after watching most of the Playboy documentary series that was on A&E last month and the month before. Very, very powerful. And so I'm saying this to say a lot of times, you know, we get images in our consciousness. We get images that are planted in our minds about what a thing is, when in actuality, it can be something completely different from what that image portrays, if you're following me. So I had to just bring that back up again. I'm not going to stay on that this week. If you want to get the lowdown, you're going to have to go into my archives from episode 89 last week when I really went in on the Playboy Empire. But, you know, just be careful of the images that you decide to implant in your consciousness, because as far as I'm concerned, Hugh Hefner was one of the biggest pimps that ever lived, especially in the United States of America, and got away with rape, sodomy, voyeurism, all kind of stuff for decades. And you know what happened to him? Nothing. Nothing. Okay? He turned into the old raisin, as Whoopi Goldberg would say, the old, old, crusty, wrinkly white man that was still able to pimp these young white hoes for money. And again, even when you think about a hoe, what do you think about? What does your consciousness dig up for you? What is the image that you see in your brain? Do you see like Pam Grier, or do you see some little quote-unquote innocent, young, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, overly big-chested white girl? Does that come into your consciousness when you think about a hoe? Does that come into your consciousness when you think about a prostitute? So we have to be careful, because the machine continues to just pour out images and ideas and all types of things that shape our consciousness, but they may not actually be as real as we think. Not to say that there aren't black pimps and black hoes. I'm not saying that. But the fact that this man got away with all of the things that he did, these were serious criminal acts. He got away with it. He threw those girls to the wolves on a regular basis, and he never, ever got in trouble. So ponder on that for a second, all right? Just put that to the side. Think about that later. If you get an opportunity, go and look at those episodes on A&E. Very, very impactful. Very impactful, because the game I saw was absolutely incredible. And again, had he been a black man, he would have been under the jail. Not only did he have a magazine portraying naked white women and centerfolds and what have you for a very, very, very long time, but he was actually having sexual relations with every centerfold, almost every single chick that was a centerfold in the Playboy magazine had had some type of sexual relations with him in order to become that centerfold. Think about it. So I don't have a lot of remorse for these individuals. It's not like I'm like, oh, my God, this is so terrible. Whatever, because they portray us as, and the things that they put us up to be and what have you, they pale in comparison to some of the things that these rich white men do. I'm just going to leave that right there. All right. So, as I said, welcome to episode 990 of the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. I am your host, Queen Amina. I am so excited to be here this week with you. I want to say hi to my listening audience and all of my dear supporters who have already logged on. I can see you in some instances, and thank you so much for your support. I really, really appreciate it. You all give me a lot of strength and energy to keep doing this show. Sister Dawn, Sister KK, my girl Renee, Barbara and Chris, Laura, a lot of you out there are so supportive and so beautiful, and I really, really give thanks for you, because, again, having this knowledge and having this level of intelligence, I have to share with you what it is that I know. I think it's very selfish for me to just have it and not share it. That's not right. And so I come forth and I bring you this information on a weekly basis as often as I can, so that you too will be enlightened, okay, so that you too will walk away from the show with a little bit more knowledge of self even, because I try to touch on that in every episode. I do cover the news and I cover current events, but I've been a researcher for over 30 years, and I am the child of an African-American studies teacher. I am the child of very serious theoretical people. My parents were so intelligent. Again, we had books upon books upon books upon books. And now in my adult life, I, too, have a major library that I'm very proud of. I have said before that I couldn't really date men that didn't have books. That was kind of scary to me. If I came into a brother's life and he had his own home and he didn't have a bookshelf at all of any books, he had no library at all, baby, we weren't going to make it. Because I need someone who's intelligent, and not just intelligent innately, which is possible, but also someone who's a bit of a scholar and who likes to research things and look things up and gain more knowledge. It's very, very important to me because I understand that we are not here in flesh for material things. We're not here to become superstars. We're not here to become political individuals. We're not here to get the bag. We're not here for that. That may happen along your journey, and if that's your journey, so shall it be. But your primary reason for existence is for you to evolve as a soul and for you to become as enlightened as possible, for you to gain knowledge of self so that you have a lot under your belt when you transcend this particular lifetime and then come back in your next lifetime, because this is what we do down here. Okay, we are eternal souls, and even though the powers that be and the quote-unquote machine, the evil machine, has figured out ways to steal your soul and even kill your soul, which is deep. I'm going to get into that a little bit later. But we're not here for material things. So material things are fun. It's nice to do things and have a good time. But again, if you do not research things and if you're not interested in gaining knowledge and evolving yourself and in enlightening yourself, then you're really a lump of clay. And that is not what we're here for, honey. So no matter how successful we are, and see, it's a blessing when you are able to be successful. That's when you do have the responsibility to give back. So I consider myself to be extremely successful. I don't have a whole lot of finance to share at this time, but the knowledge that I possess far outweighs any bag I can catch. Real talk. And I stand on that. I stand on my merit. I stand on my intelligence, and I stand on being an enlightened individual, knowing that I'm an old soul. I've lived many, many lifetimes. I'm back here to do some serious work, and this is a part of it. And so that's why I give thanks to Dr. Wimborne and Reverend Robinson, because without them, yeah, I could do this on my own, but I really appreciate the fact that they've given me this platform, which is relatively uncensored. If I do a show like this on YouTube, sometimes they're going to take that down. If I try to post this type of information on Instagram, they're going to take it down. So far, Blog Talk Radio has been very, very nice, and they have allowed me to continue to do the work that I'm doing. So I'm really grateful, y'all. All right, so we're going to dig in. First thing I want to say is I want to thank Sister Ashton Smith for calling in last week and sharing her amazing story as a gold medalist in swimming with the Special Olympics and how they did her so dirty, and many, many others as well, despite their pious appearance. You know how Special Olympics tries to make themselves look all sweet and clean and what have you, but they're really kind of grimy. And she has exposed them, and in this exposure, they kicked her out of the Special Olympics, and she's had a very hard way to go. Please watch her video on YouTube. It's called Ashton Smith Gives Us the Game on How the Special Olympics Doesn't Pay Athletes and Bans Sponsorship. Okay? It's by Diversified Game Podcast, all right? You can also buy her book, Swimming Upstream to Realize the Dream, on Amazon.com. The proceeds will be a blessing to her as she has undergone some serious financial struggles as a result of being kicked out of the Special Olympics. Her story is astonishing, family. Please support her. I do look forward to having her as a guest again on the show, but I thank her so much for calling in last week and for just dropping dime and just letting her know a little bit of the skinny behind the Special Olympics and how they take advantage of people who are supposedly, disabled or physically or challenged, and they're taking advantage of these people. So I really give a super shout-out for her for being courageous to expose them in that way, and prayerfully the universe will continue to bless her and help her financially, you know, as she continues to do her thing. You know, maybe she can even be a great swimming coach, or have a good swim team of her own or something like that. But, you know, she definitely needs the support of the village, and we are that village. So I'm bigging her up, and I am promoting her heavily. I will continue to promote her in weeks to come. I also want to make a swift correction that I had made a little error on last week. I had said that J. Edgar Hoover was the head of the CIA. Not the CIA, it was the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, okay? That was who J. Edgar Hoover was the head of. And as I mentioned, he was a very challenged man. He had a lot of issues. He was half black. He hated to have the part of him that was black. He was a closet homosexual. And although he hated black people on the outside and even created COINTELPRO to probe and bug Malcolm X and Martin Luther King and other civil rights activists, all of his lovers were black men. So that's interesting, don't you think? Just think of the oxymoronic message in that. You can't stand black people. You're half black, but all your lovers are black men. Okay, that is a sign of who we're dealing with. Even though he's long gone, there are many, many still like him. All right, so just keep your eyes on the prize. Now, what was interesting was my husband had mentioned to me the other day that on the news he had seen a report on how some, and y'all going to forgive me for this, if it doesn't apply to you, don't wear it. But he saw some crazy white folks that wanted to established a Satanist school. So instead of like a charter school or a public school or a private school or a parochial school, they want to institute a satanic school. This is real stuff. And don't forget a few years ago when, I can't remember what state it was in the South, that wanted to put the Baphomet on display. And for those of you who don't know what the Baphomet is a character that is synonymous with Satan or Shaitan. And it often has two children depicted at its feet because it basically explains that these individuals need the blood of children in order to thrive. Okay, now I'm just going to put a cute little disclaimer out real quick. The Black Alice in Wonderland show is not for the faint of heart. It is not for those of you who are just embedded in mainstream media and believe everything that MSNBC, CNN, and Fox have to say. This is not that type of show, Punkin. This is not some happy-go-lucky Daisy show either. I am exposing a lot of information that will never come across the television. Netflix doesn't even touch half of the stuff I'm talking about. So just beware. That's why I always try to tell y'all to fasten your chin strap. Okay, put that helmet on, boo-boo, because when I go in, I go in. And if you're brave enough, and a lot of you are, and I love you for being so brave, you will go down this rabbit hole with me, and I will be able to share some serious information with you. So I just had to put that out there because I know I do have new listeners from time to time, and some people get so shocked and surprised, like, oh, my God, what is she talking about? You know, I've never been that regular okie doke regular kind of chick. I've just never been that type of sister. So the knowledge I possess, yet again, is deep, okay? I'm deep into esoteric. I'm deep into quantum physics and mechanics. I'm deep into metaphysical studies. I'm deep into a lot of things. So, you know, try to hold on tight. You know, I'm not trying to say anything to ruffle your feathers and make you upset. I'm really trying to open your third eye. I want for your consciousness to expand, all right, because the more we know, the more we grow, and we can't do better until we know better, right? So this is what this is all about. I also want to give a swift little plug to my sister Ty Phoenix, who is a master astrologer. She's got a channel on, two channels actually, on Instagram, or a page I should say, but she does the most amazing lives when she does her readings, and her readings are so spot on and on point. I also want to, again, stress the importance of astrology. It is very, very important. Trust me, if it wasn't important, the Pope would not have a master astrologer. Are you feeling me? So while the church may tell you, oh, don't do that, or the masjid might tell you, oh, don't do that, that's only to continue to cripple you and keep you blind to who you are, keep you blind to what's going on in terms of even what's going on with the ages and the eons that we move through in humanity on this planet. We were never down here to play no games, y'all. It's so serious, it's not funny. So astrology is a map, if you will. It leads us and guides us and helps us to get rid of that which doesn't work in your life, to acknowledge things that you need to change, and to help you to grow and evolve and become a better soul and a better person. Because, again, we come here over and over and over and over and over and over again. Okay, even according to ancient mystics, we have to go through every single zodiac. We will incarnate into both sexes. We will be male and female in our journey as a soul, because the soul's journey is to encompass and learn everything there is to learn. So it takes time to do that. You can't do that in one lifetime. That is basically impossible. So it's important for you to know that these journeys that we're taking are like steps, like a staircase. With each lifetime, you're supposed to go up a step or a few steps. We're supposed to be ascending. It's all about ascension. We're on a mission to ascend, all right? Some of us are descending. Be careful. But it's all about going onward and upward in your lifetimes and in your experiences. Okay. Okay. Also, I wanted to mention that there's an organization called the Freedom From Religion Foundation. I thought that was kind of interesting. Rob Reagan, Ronald Reagan's gay son, is a spokesman for this foundation. And I found that to be kind of interesting. Now, y'all know, I'm not a religious individual. I'm very, very spiritual. I've studied basically every religion there is and realized that they're all basically talking about one thing, but that one thing that gets missed in all the thick pages and pages and pages and pages and pages of things. The main thing is, you know, evolution and enlightenment, the connection to each other. Whether you realize it or not, we are all connected through the law of entanglement. We are all connected. And what happens to other people can affect you as an individual, even if you don't know somebody. And this is why global politics is so important. If you don't know what's really going on in other countries and what's going on around your world, you live in a bubble. And I'm telling you, living in a bubble doesn't help you evolve. Not really. Think about it. You're just in a bubble. You can't even get out the bubble. How are you going to evolve if you can't get out the bubble? So I don't want us to be afraid of acquiring knowledge. I do not want us to be afraid of astrology and knowing who we are. I don't want us to be afraid of that, because the more knowledge and wisdom that you gain, the easier your lifetimes become. And let that marinate for a second. You know, we get caught up in a lot of the wrong stuff, and so many things are happening to take us off track. All the time, day in, day out. So much is happening to just throw us off. So we got to hone in at some point, right? I say yes. So next, apparently Ukrainian children coming over to this interesting country are being separated from their caregivers at the southern border. A lot of them did not come with their parents. Some of their parents were like, no, I want to stay. I want to fight. I'm going to get into that later. But because these children didn't come over with their parents, they are separated at the border. Any child that comes into the country without their parent is subject to this process, and it can take weeks to approve because the government says, quote, unquote, they're trying to avoid the child from being trafficked. I was like, ooh, interesting. So we're in the process of welcoming over 100,000 Ukrainian refugees. Many of them are children unaccompanied with their parent or by their parent. And we got a mess going on now at the southern border. Besides the fact, I didn't even know they were coming through the southern border. That was interesting to learn as well. Now, we know that this particular situation with Ukraine and Russia continues to go on. And a lot of us do not really understand why or what's going on. If you're trusting the mainstream media that's telling you that Vladimir Putin just wants Ukraine back because he's angry because Ukraine was a part of Russia and he wants it back, you're missing a lot of the story. And all this conversation about NATO this and NATO that, when oftentimes I'm finding that they're not really breaking down what NATO means, who is in NATO, and who isn't in NATO. So I decided to take a moment and share that. Because a lot of people are like, well, what is NATO? NATO is and stands for the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. NATO is a military alliance that was formed in 1949 by originally 12 countries, including the U.S., Canada, and the U.K. and France. NATO was formed largely to counter the threat from the Soviet Union post-World War II. The USSR had created its own military alliance in 1955 to counter NATO. Okay, it was called the Warsaw Pact. Warsaw as in Warsaw, Poland. Warsaw got disbanded with the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1990, and several of Warsaw Pact countries became NATO members. NATO alliance has a total of 30 members in 30 countries altogether. Under the alliance, the member countries have agreed to come to one another's aid in the event of an armed attack against any one member state. Yet several African countries, follow me, are not in support of NATO, nor its tactics. And did you know that there are no African countries in NATO? And I'm bringing up Africa for a reason, because Africa is the largest continent. It has the largest population of human beings, and yet and still, they don't really think about them too much, aside from if there's a situation in an African country that was colonized by a European nation. Stay with me. So as I said, NATO consists of 30 countries, okay? Europe, North America, and Asia are involved, the UK, so on and so forth. Among the 30 countries that comprise NATO, 27 are mainly located in Europe, 2 in North America, and 1 in Asia. There are 12 original founding member states, Belgium, Canada, Denmark, France, Iceland, Italy, Luxembourg, Netherlands, Norway, Portugal, United Kingdom, and the United States of America. As I said, it originally does not comprise of any African countries. NATO is an alliance that consists of only 30 member states from Europe and so forth. But since 2005, they've been cooperating with the African Union, which is a regional organization with 55 members. The African Union requested for a NATO-AU relationship, AU meaning African Union, and this has greatly helped the African Union in terms of logistics and airlift support for its mission in Sudan. Although the NATO-AU relationship was based on an ad hoc military technical cooperation, NATO allies are committed to extending collaboration with the African Union to make it an important element of NATO's efforts to cooperate more closely with partners in addressing security problems emanating from the South. Now, you know, South Africa is colonized by several European countries. You have Germany. You have the UK. Okay. And there's a couple of others that are not coming to mind at the moment. But the South African Union, which is like a mini United States of America in South Africa, is not really run by African people, by melanin-dominant African people, okay? So if South Africa has its relationship with... If South Africa is... governed by, thank you, sweetie, other European countries, then it's not really that African, is it? Now, you have other areas like Botswana, Zimbabwe, Swaziland, that are not a part of the South African Union. But what's interesting to me, and we talked about neocolonialism a lot last week, when you've got European colonization going on in other countries or other nations in the world, then those African peoples, the general population of Africans, and I'm talking about real Africans, the melanin-dominant Africans who are native to the continent of Africa, they are subjugated. They are subjugated. They're taken advantage of. They're starving. They're economically disenfranchised. Okay? When you think about diamonds and gold, and I talked about all the different ores and different things that come out of Africa and how these African countries do not get the financial, if you will, gain from these natural resources. So diamonds and gold and copper and tanzanite even, coltan and all these wonderful things, manganese and magnesium, all these things, Africa still remains impoverished because of neocolonialism. So this would also lend itself as to why Africa is not really in NATO. Not only is it North Atlantic, quote unquote, and it could possibly, I think, be a member of NATO, but you have a lot of African leaders that are anti-NATO. Why? Because it's NATO that came in to North Africa and brutally murdered Muammar Gaddafi and his family and his children. And you know the United States and many other European countries tried to say that Muammar Gaddafi was a murderer and a killer and he was a bad person, he was this, he was that. If you look up the history of Libya, if you look up how many benefits Libyan citizens had, I mean, it's incredible, the things that were actually awarded to citizens of Libya. And most people are aware, again, if you're aware of geopolitics and you know what's going on in African politics as well, Gaddafi was a linchpin because he could not be bought by the neocolonialists. He was a linchpin that held together North and Central Africa. So Libya, Chad, Morocco, Egypt even, you know, he held these regions together. And the reason why the United States and the UN and NATO went in to get rid of him, aside from the fact that he was getting ready to put their currency back on a gold and silver standard, hello, they disliked the power that this one black man had. They disliked that a lot because they couldn't buy him. And so he wasn't about letting Boko Haram run about and kidnap and pillage people's villages to make money for other European colonialists. He wasn't about that. He wasn't about ISIL or, you know, because they called it ISIS, ISIL. He wasn't about them being able to run amok and wreak havoc in North Africa. He wasn't about that. So, yeah, if he was able to capture them, he'd capture them. Some of them, those individuals, he would execute. Yes, he would. Why? Because they were going against their own African people for money that they would get from the UN and other European and the United States colonialists. Real talk. When we see corruption in Africa, please understand, overstand, and understand you are looking at neocolonialism and how it works. Because they come in with the money, they get a small faction of individuals, and they pay them to kill their own people. And they do it because they're so impoverished. They do it because they don't have anything, and they don't know of a way out. And instead of coming together with your own people, they would rather take the bag and do the dirt. So those are the people that Gaddafi would exterminate. And pardon my expression, but rightly so, because they were wreaking havoc, raping women and children, kidnapping people, kidnapping young boys and forcing them into their little pitiful armies and what have you. Okay, yeah, no, Gaddafi wasn't having that. But see, that is what NATO and the UN and the United States loves, because then they can go in and they can, you know, extract all these minerals and resources while the natives are, quote unquote, fighting amongst themselves. These young brothers over there don't wake up like, yeah, I'm going to become a part of this gang and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. No, the UN and the U.S. come in and dangle the bag and they go for it. That is why you had, and sometimes you still have in certain places, the corruption that exists in Africa. They do the same thing in other countries with of melanated people. Because, again, I keep trying to tell you, they're trying to get rid of us. Y'all don't want to believe that, but they really are. So that was interesting. I really wanted to know, are there any melanin-dominant nations or countries, quote-unquote, that are involved in NATO? And the answer was no. And that's interesting. You need to think about that for a second. Because while we're watching television and you're watching Zelensky keep begging NATO and begging in the U.S. to save their behinds, again, the other story isn't being told. I said that before. And I researched a lot about Ukraine. I needed to understand, well, why is it happening? Why now? You know, because it isn't as if Vladimir Putin of Russia hadn't been talking about coming in and taking over Ukraine from before, right? He's been talking about this for a few years now, which is why when he annexed Crimea in 2014 and everybody had their panties in a bunch, okay, but what is it really about? And I'm not saying that we can trust everything that Russia does. I'm not saying that. But I do know that Ukraine has a very large population, had a large population of real neo-Nazi white supremacists. And that is a story that they don't want to talk about. And so I get my panties in a bunch when I see Joy Reid, as black as she is, on MSNBC talking about Ukraine as if we're supposed to save them, when a lot of those people are racist individuals. I said this before. You have neo-Nazis in the United States and in the UK that would go to Ukraine to train on how to be a better neo-Nazi. Marinate on that for a minute. Adam Waffen, neo-Nazi skinheads were, yeah, going over there like summer camp. Google the Ukrainian Independence Day Parade. Look at how many neo-Nazis are able to march in the parade. I say this because I need you to think. Imagine if we have an Independence Day parade in Washington, D.C., and all the way down Constitutional Avenue, we are looking at the Ku Klux Klan and neo-Nazis in the parade. Would you not be gasping? Okay, it's a pearl-clutching moment. But in Ukraine, they're right with everybody else. And so a lot of the people there have this ideology. A lot of those individuals are white supremacists, scary enough on its own. But then you take it up a notch and say, whoo, we're welcoming 100,000 of these people over here? Let that marinate. I'm like, we sleep. We are knocked out. Okay, I'm going to come back to that shortly, but I need you all to understand that today, Elon Musk has officially bought Twitter. Now, everybody was having all kind of conversation about it. All the little pundits, that's why I get tired of the news being 24 hours a day, because it's just hilarious. They run out of things to say, and so they just speculate. Everything is pontification and speculation all day long. And everybody was saying, oh, that'll never happen. Oh, they won't do that. Oh, the boy won't approve it. Oh, da 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 da. He can't do that. The public doesn't want him to do that. Oh, the people who are on Twitter doesn't want it. Did that mean a damn thing? Absolutely not. Because Boo-Boo has won. Boo-Boo bought Twitter for $44 billion. Now, 44 should stay out in your mind just a little bit because, again, 44 is a master number. So it wasn't 45, it wasn't 47, 49, or 50. $44 billion. Elon Musk bought Twitter for $44 billion today. So please stop putting all of your faith into the shady media who just pontificates, lies, and speculates, and they don't know a damn thing until it happens. Because everybody and their grandmother talked about how that would not happen. Oh, he can't buy Twitter. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Boo-boo just copped that bad boy for $44 billion. Not mil. Bill. Okay? The truth gets lost when speculation is everywhere. So, and I'm one that goes for the truth. I don't like to speculate, which is why I will research before I speak about stuff. It's very, very important to me. I'm not just trying to be up in here blabbing. I'm trying to feed you information so that you become empowered. Maybe you have your own little cluster conversations with your own little network of friends and family so that we become more and more enlightened. So hopefully we can be around. How about that? So I'm going back into my main story, which I've been covering for a few weeks now. And I mentioned this last week, but I'm just going to kick off with it this week because it's important. In 1954, a Native American chief, his name was Seattle, delivered this particular address to an American congressional committee whose European constituency had overrun the country, decimating animal and plant life. Now, look at where we are right now, because I'm talking about something that happened in 1854. It is 2022, and the beast has no respect for life at all. Plant life, animal life, human life. So pay attention. He says, quote, "This we know, all things are connected. Like the blood which unites one family, all things are connected. Teach your children that the earth is our mother. Whatever befalls earth befalls the sons and daughters of earth. Man did not weave the web of life. He is merely a strand in it. Whatever he does to the web, he does to himself." A little bit of karma in there, right? And again, think about karma. You do unto others as you would have others do unto you. That's karma. But there's other types of karma. And sometimes you can retribute family karma. You can retribute spiritual karma, of course. So we have to, and I say we, I mean melanin-dominant human beings. Okay, this is specifically for us now. I'm going into the melanin hour, okay? We have to acknowledge and realize and know what melanin is, how it is very valuable, how it interacts and interfaces with other living things, how we're related to the soil, how we're related to chlorophyll. We always say melanin is chlorophyll's second cousin because they're very similar. So the chlorophyll that makes trees and plants green is akin to the melanin, which makes us brown. Okay? Now, one of the things that I was studying through Dr. Phil Valentine, amazing doc. I love Dr. Phil Valentine. He is a master scholar. He's got the University of Comedic Science in Florida, and he and his wife, Dr. Nalani, do amazing metaphysical work, okay? And so he was saying that melanated beings must reduce our interface with AI or we will begin to lose our innate spiritual connections. Okay, our innate spiritual connections with the divine are very essential to our existence. And if we begin to lose that, then we become someone and something else. We think that our phones and our computers and tablets make our lives easier, but they actually make us a little bit more stupid sometimes. Okay, they have the capacity to atrophy our innate abilities as melanated people. And according to Dr. Valentine, AI is the pineal gland of the beast because the beast's pineal gland is calcified. I spoke about this heavily last week. How did the beast's pineal gland get calcified? From being trapped in ice during the last ice age for almost 10,000 years. Okay, they did not have access to vitamin D, whether it was through saltwater fish or the sun itself. And the sun gives us information. I'll get to that in a moment. So if your pineal gland, aka your third eye, is calcified, then you lose your connection to spirit. You lose your connection to life and other living things, whether it be a plant, a bird, a bee, a tree, another person, a dog, a cat, whatever. You lose your connection to other living things, and moreover, you lose your connection to the divine creator's creator. You lose your connection to spirit. Okay, what makes us as melanin dominant people so fantastic is that our pineal gland is active. Okay, it's not calcified. And that is what enables us to be very different from other entities on this planet. It definitely separates us from the melanin recessive human, aka white people. It separates us. We are 9 ether beings. They are 6 ether beings. Even the receptors in our brainstem differ. We're different. So do not let anybody tell you, oh, we're all the same as human beings. No, we're not. We're really, really not. Not on a molecular and biological level. We're not. We're not the same. And so although there was a huge campaign to dehumanize us, not just through the you know, slavery and what have you, and no, not just through that, but overall, because these individuals with a calcified pineal gland became deathly afraid of genetic annihilation. They realized that we procreate more. They realized that we're way more spiritual. They realized that we're more, how can I say, magical, if you will. And I mean that in every sense of the word. And there's nothing wrong with magic or being a magical person. Who do you think supposedly visited Jesus Christ when he was in the manger? The Magi. What are the Magi? The Magi are the magicians. So, unfortunately, there have been so many different things that have come up that make us afraid of who we are, make us afraid of how dynamic and amazing and special we are. They've made us so afraid that they force us to assimilate into being something that we're not. And I would go so far as to say forcing us to assimilate to become a lesser being. Because the melanin-dominant human is the highest aspect of human being on this planet. And this is in no way am I trying to be mean or belittle or, you know, throw shame on melanin recessive people. No, I'm just speaking the truth. Scientists know this, but we don't. And they've got us afraid of the sun. They have us, you know, straightening our hair. They have us wanting to make our noses smaller. You know, people want to have cosmetic surgery to, you know, have a Europeanized nose. For what? Like, what are you doing? And the only reason why we look different is through what we call differentiation, which means that your environment helps to shape your physical appearance from generation to generation. The only reason why white people have straight straw-like hair is because that hair had to cover their neck and their spinal column, or they would have froze to death and died. The only reason why African people have wide noses with wide nostrils is to be able to breathe in all that heat. But when you come over to North America, if you come over to the Amexum Empire of North America and you see the Native American and you see predominant melanin-dominant Native American people here who were also enslaved and, you know, their status went from being Native American to black, which then made them eligible to become slaves. when you see all those people, their noses are a little different. They've got a straight bridge with wider nostrils at the bottom, but the bridge of their nose is kind of thin. Why? Because we go through four seasons here. We have winter here. If you've got Iroquois in the north, if you've got Shoni in the north, then these individuals, they can remain melanin dominant because we're eating fresh fish. Fish is plentiful. We're eating, you know, saltwater fish, which is rich in vitamin D. So that's helping us to maintain and hold that melanin. Again, I say, African people came over to this part of this hemisphere, if you will, of the world over 50,000 years ago. 50,000 years ago. Just like in Kemet, which they call Egypt, which is not what it's really called, but in Kemet, even Kemet is over 60,000 years old. But see, the History Channel and Zahi Hawass don't want you to know that. So be very careful when you start listening to certain scholars that are not melanin dominant want to tell you about the history of an area that is melanin dominant and who did what. Be careful. We've been here for a long time. Here in America, Central and South, and I'm including Canada, we have been here for tens of thousands of years. You got to check out a video that was called, I think, The Greatest Lie That Was Never Told. And it goes in about the slave trade. Because, again, they want us to believe that they just took millions and millions and millions of Africans from Africa when, in actuality, all they did was enslave the natives that were already here. Yes, they did bring some from Africa, they did, but not as the story is told. Not at all as the story is told. And don't forget, Alex Haley was a liar. Roots was not a true story. Roots nor Queen, those two stories that we saw, they were not a true story. He actually got sued for telling a false story because that story was based on somebody else's family's life, but it wasn't his. And some of it was allegory in terms of the multitude of Africans that they stole. Yes, they did take them. I'm not going to negate that because we know you got Gori Island, you've got Castle and all these other places on West African coast where you know they brought indigenous Africans to this land. However, there were millions of us here already. So I need you to do the math and think about how cheap Whitey actually is. Why are you going to pay to bring over a whole bunch of people if you already got the people here? No, you just wage war on the people here, enslave them, take away their status and their title, and there you have it. So many of my friends, dear close friends, are Native American, and they know it. Some have even changed their names. They know who they are, whether they were Cherokee, whether they were Blackfeet, whether they were Blackfeet or Blackfoot, whether they were Muscogee, whether they were Shoni, Iroquois, whether they were even the Aztec and the Mayans are melanin-dominant people, and they're all the way in the Mexican region, or Mexico, as we call it. Okay, you go all the way down to the Seminoles, and that wasn't even their original name because Seminole means runaway. The quote-unquote Maroons and Arawak of Jamaica and the Caribbean. The Taino of Puerto Rico. These are not melanin recessive individuals. The Lenape of California. They're not melanin recessive individuals. The Wampanoag of, I believe, Virginia. No, they are not melanin recessive individuals. Think about it. Would you spend money and spend most of your fortune on building ships and sailing across the Atlantic Ocean on a regular basis to continue to bring Africans to this nation if you already have a multitude of individuals here? No, you're going to enslave who you got, who's in your face. You're going to enslave those individuals. Take a trip down to the Gullah Islands. Speak to whoever is left of the so-called Geechee people, because they know their history. Speak to other melanin-dominant Native Americans like the Shinnecock, the Nantucket. Think about it. Why do we have so many Native American towns and cities and streets and neighborhoods? Because this is who we are. This is where we were. And we are an extension of those people. My grandmother was Arawak. My mother's mother was Arawak from Jamaica with that soft, soft curly hair. Not curly like a Latino person's hair. The soft, like spongy, soft hair. Okay, the Sabians from Saba. My great-grandmother was from Saba. Melanin-dominant people. I met a beautiful sister from Saba. Gorgeous. Her skin is that deep, deep, dark copper tone. Beautiful. Her family has been in Saba for centuries. And some of y'all might be like, what's Saba? Saba is in the Caribbean near St. Thomas and St. Croix and all of that. Saba was colonized by the Dutch. Very small island, but it's there. So I keep saying we need to know who we are. Now, what I got today, I was watching an interview today with Brother Rich and Dr. Phil Valentine, and it was so heavy because I've been doing a lot of thinking, okay, and pondering and meditating, and I've been beaming up a lot in my sleep. My dreams have been very profound in these past weeks, and even in the last few days, my dreams have been so vivid that upon waking, it was difficult for me to differentiate between my dream state and my reality state, my physical state right now, tense. And I know this is happening to a lot of us, and I don't want us to be afraid of it, okay, because it's par for the course. But what I learned was that, again, we get very caught up in our thoughts. And I'm not talking about thoughts when we're studying and we're learning something new. I'm talking about the thoughts that just bounce around inside your head all day, the thoughts that you tell yourself, the thoughts that you may feel about another person or your circumstance and situation, love or fear, or if you ain't got no money and you're trying to hustle for this money, all these types of things that we get preoccupied by, we get a little bit too caught up in sometimes. And I'm dealing with a few clients that are having trouble trying to get out of their heads. And I'm trying my best to give them tools to be able to get out of their head. Because what you focus on will manifest into your reality. And I've mentioned this before. And you don't have to be a genie or a magician for this to happen. It happens because our thoughts emit electrical impulses. And so when we have a thought, like it's like a flash of lightning that happens in the brain. And within that flash of lightning, that then beams out from outside of your cranium, outside of your brain, and it attaches itself to the electrons that are in the atoms and molecules floating around us that we can't see. And so if we concentrate on something long enough, it becomes a reality. It can actually manifest into a physical reality. So be careful with what you're thinking on a regular basis. Be careful as to what you harp on, if you will. Be careful, because you can manifest something that you do not want. And then you're like, oh, my God, I don't know why this happened. I don't understand. Why is my life moving in this direction? La, 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 la. Because you're not in control of your thoughts. And I do stress that because of the envelope of time that we're in right now, many of you might not even realize we just had, and we're in it still partially, a major planetary alignment just occurred. It will not happen for another 1,000 years. It just happened from 3 days ago into today. And depending on where you are on the globe, you can either see it clearly or you can't. But the Earth, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn were in a straight line. It's a very magical time. And I'm going to confer with my sister Ty on this later on, just so, not in the show, but later on privately, just to see if she has any additional information that I can bring to you next week. But for us to have that type of planetary alignment, which doesn't happen often, like I said, the next one is not due for another 1,000 years or so. So the fact that we're sitting in this alignment, okay, we're on planet Earth and all the other planets after us and before us are in a line, a straight line. That is very heavy cosmically. So I would definitely say take some time to not think so much. Take some time to connect with nature, to go outside, to be silent, to listen to the birds and the animals and the bugs. Just relax. Take some time to unplug because we're more and more addicted to all these things. And I can't say that I'm not a culprit because I'm doing a lot of research all the time. So I use my phone, I use my tablet or my computer to get this information, aside from the library I possess with the books that I have. But sometimes it's just so much faster to go online. These mechanisms that we're using have the propensity to inflict, like I said, an atrophy on our divine gifts. So I do know when to turn it off. I do know when to stop. I do get my sleep. I do get my rest, and I do meditate. And I think that that is very, very important for us. Okay, I pray as well. But praying and meditating are two different things. So learn to embrace stillness and quiet. Do not be afraid of turning everything off. Do not sleep with the television on. Do not sleep with music on. Learn how to be in silence. Now, I'm an old school baby. So, you know, back in the day, the television went off at like 1 o'clock in the morning. Nowadays, everything is 24/7. Then we have extensions of networks. We got Netflix, Hulu, Paramount Plus. We got all these things, HBO Max. We have all these things to keep us overly stimulated. And that's not always good. So be careful. Okay? Dr. Phil was talking about how, Dr. Phil Valentine was talking about how all of our thoughts are from a past, whether it's this past, meaning that in this lifetime or another lifetime. Okay? And we are observer. We are the observer of our thoughts, but we are not the thought itself. I'm going to say that again. When we have a thought, we are observing the thought, but we are not the thought itself. When we live in the now, our past thoughts don't really have a lot of power. And it's very difficult for a lot of us to learn how to live in the now, because the now is constantly changing. But when you can sit and meditate and be still, you're in the now. Most of us are trying to plan for tomorrow. We're worried about what happened 5 minutes ago. Some of us are still stuck on what happened 10 years ago. Some of us are trying to plan for the future. But are you embracing the now? Are you embracing the very moment that you're in? Even those of you who are within the sound of my voice and you are listening to this show, we are in the now together. We're not in yesterday or tomorrow. We're in right now, which is why I'm always grateful when you, you know, log on or you call in and you're taking this journey with me right now. So just realize that our thoughts are a part of us, that we're revisiting the past, okay? And so we have to learn how to come into the isness of the now and not the wasness of our past. I thought that was so fly. And then he also goes on to state that who we are is what our thoughts are. But what we are is who we are in the spirit. Think about that for a minute, because I keep talking about how important and how great spirit is. Not just the creature's creator, but us as an extension of that energy and how we're connected to it through our soul. And that is the eternal part of ourselves. But I'm really coming to realize, and I have spoken on this before, but some of you may be new tonight, so just stay with me. I'm coming to find that the wicked one, the negative energy, okay, whether they want to call it Satan, the devil, Shaitan, Diablo, whatever, the negative energy seeks to destroy us because we are the original light holders and the original light bearers. I'm going to say it again. Negative energy seeks to destroy us as melanin-dominant people. And I don't care if you're light-skinned. I'm talking about melanin-dominant people. You know who you are. Melanin-dominant people who are light-skinned are not white. You're just light-skinned. But the white European individual who is melanin-recessive is not a melanin-dominant person. And there are two categories of melanin-dominant people. Those who have EU melanin, which are very, very dark-skinned people, and then the rest of us who are pheno-melanated, P-H-E-N-O, melanated. Pheno-melanated goes from like coffee color, not black coffee, but like coffee with a little cream, all the way into your light skin, all the way to your quote-unquote red bones. Those of us who are pheno-melanated are still melanin-dominant. So we can still acquiesce information from the sun and from spirit. Hence, we are the original light holders and the original light bearers, which is how we were able to civilize every corner of this earth before the invasion of the calcified pineal one. Stay with me. So if we are light bearers and light holders, and this is because of the melanin that we possess, melanin is an actual divine intelligence. Many scholars have testified to this over and over and over again through the decades. Okay, you got scholars like Dr. Carol Barnes, Dr. Richard King, Dr. Phil Valentine, as I mentioned, Dr. Delbert Blair. Also, the author of the Melantropic Peptides, you know, which is a consortium which is held every year in Germany where they discover and talk about melanin. Meanwhile, they don't really invite melanin-dominant people to the conference. The book comes out in three volumes. Each volume is about $187. And the books are called The Melantropic Peptides by Mac E. Hadley. Melanin is amazing. And because Babylon is fallen, the beast is panicking. That should be obvious. The beast is cold tripping right now. All right? Because the Nagas are rising. We are rising. Now, I watched a really deep, deep video. Dr. Winborn has sent it to me. God bless him. A molecular biologist whose name is Dr. Steele, melanin-dominant sister, she came out with some very damning information. And she states that, okay, yes, we are etheric beings. Yes, we're melanin-dominant humans, but melanin-dominant humans have DEA and not really DNA. Stay with me. She says that we are deoxyribo-etheric acid entities, not deoxyribo-nucleic acid entities. Okay, and I've talked about ether before. I talked about it a few minutes ago. Our ether is 9. It is the divine spiral. It is the highest ether that exists on the planet. Again, melanin recessive individuals, a.k.a. white people, only have 6 ether, no higher. So one of the major objectives of the COVID-19 exercise is not only to kill off original man, but to kill and eradicate the souls of original man and prevent us from actually reincarnating by attacking the reptilian brain stem and infusing snake venom. Yes, snake venom is inside of the mRNA vaccine. If you introduce snake venom, not only does it have the propensity to kill you, which is why a lot of people did drop dead as soon as they got it, but over time, it will alter your biological and neurological structure. In other words, it can change you. It'll change you into another form of another type of entity. You won't necessarily be all human, if you get where I'm coming from. Now, I talk about this all the time. The beast is loose. Some of y'all like to dance with him. I ain't messing with him like that. I am grateful that I have enough intuition spiritually when I do meditate and I'm able to download or upload information from the cosmos that keeps me protected and aware of these plans to kill us. They're killing us at every turn. We know this. I talk about this repeatedly. We got to be aware of it. Because when we're not, then we're ignorant. And when we're ignorant, that's how we get hurt. And a lot of us have gotten damaged. Okay? They definitely introduced things to, you know, break up families and, you know, make people ostracized and, you know, all kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, they know that we're divine entities, and they know that they are dying. So they kind of want to take as many of us with them as they can. Our sun, the beautiful orange ball in the sky, is not just about light and heat. It emits light codes that we are able to download through our melanin. Since the sun is like a huge computer, the downloads that we receive through our skin go directly into our brains. They go straight into our neurological system. And this is how we can gain information without it being taught to us by a book or a teacher or another person. Okay, this is also how the Dogon of Mali were able to find Sirius A, B, and C without a telescope. When we sit in the sun, we are actually uploading information. Even if you stargaze, even if you look at the sun without looking at it, you look a little to the side of it, but you let that light into your optic nerve and stimulate your pineal gland, which is your original eye. This is where we have to get back to. Okay? Many of us can and do intuit and interpret information from the sun. And all you have to do is be still. That's why it's important, like I said, to turn stuff off. Because we're more electrified now than ever before. We're also more radiated now. We're taking in way more radiation than we did in the 60s and 70s. So we got to be careful. You know, buy those little diodes that you can put on your phone and your computer to decrease and absorb the radiation coming out of these devices. You can buy them on Amazon. Okay? You can even get Faraday fabric. Faraday fabric blocks radiation. I saw a white woman on YouTube who's got Faraday curtains. She she dresses in a Faraday overlay because she knows that she's being over-radiated. And she really is not ready to die from cancer. And some may call her a little special, but in actuality, she's on point. Because that's what's really going on. And again, radiation is invisible, family. So you don't know. You can't see it. Think about that. All right? So learn how to be still. Learn how to turn stuff off. Like I said, don't sleep with the TV on. Don't sleep with the music on and stuff. Just be silent. I also continue to urge a lot of us as melanin-dominant individuals to get out of the city. You're sitting in the middle of the largest microwave oven ever, and it's just on all the time. You've got cell phone towers on top of your apartment buildings, and you're just being drowned in radiation. This is also why people are tripping. People are angry. People are fighting and killing each other for no reason because we're being terraformed. We're being changed from the inside in many ways. So please, the enemy uses fear and other psychological tactics to get us to comply with their plans. And as I stated before, some of us already have. And these plans go against us. These plans actually seek to get rid of us. Okay? There are still many of us, millions of us, who refuse to drink the Kool-Aid, who refuse to take the poison, who refuse to even engage in the stabby, stab, stab. There's a lot of us. They are angry that millions of us did not do that. So those of us that didn't, we're a little more turned up than those that did. And because melanin is so amazing, some of what's happening is melanin-dominant people are not reacting the way they really wanted them to. They really wanted to eradicate a lot of us. Now, some of us did get sterilized by it because there are many sterilizing agents within this thing. I told you there are 1,200 side effects alone, 1,200 side effects that are in the Pfizer stabby stab. So everybody that was all excited said, well, I got the Pfizer. Okay, you also just inherited 1,200 side effects that could potentially do damage to you, okay? So I keep saying, just please use your own discernment. Do not allow any governmental entity to pressure you into doing something to your body that they really don't even know what could be done. The side effect information just came out a couple of months ago. Meanwhile, they were stabbing everybody up last year. That information should have come out before you start stabbing people up. But no, we want to get as many of the public as possible so we can begin to truly terraform them and change their molecular structure, alter their DNA/DEA, alter that, and sterilize them. Y'all think you're playing with somebody who has your best interests at heart. You're not. They don't care about you at all. They don't care about me. They don't even care about their own grandmother. So use your heart. Okay, because sometimes when you're thinking, your brain leads you astray. Your heart, you know what you're feeling when you're feeling it. Trust your heart. Okay? Many of us are trying to stay as pure as we can. I myself haven't had a vaccine in decades, and I don't plan to. I don't plan to get nothing, not a single shot, nothing. Everything, Big Pharma is everywhere, and they do not have our best interests at heart, so they can go somewhere and sit down. In the meantime, the sun, okay, UV output from the sun is increasing exponentially. Got a brother out in California called Kali Amun-Ra. He is reading the sun's UV output every day. It is so high, it's ridiculous. So please be careful. All my melanin recessive people who may be listening to me, be careful this summer. Don't be going out there laying in the sun like you used to back in the day. there are going to be some serious deadly cases of skin cancer this summer because UV is the highest it's ever been. Meanwhile, melanin-dominant people, hear me and hear me well, UV is food for us. Food. So get into the sun. Don't fry yourself, but definitely get at least a half an hour of sunlight. Upgrade your DNA / DEA. Upgrade. Get some information. Okay? Be careful. But get some information. Get some sunshine, honey. Like Mudbone always used to say, get some sunshine on your face, okay? Now, you also know, and I talked about this before, they are continuing to spray our skies with chemicals, a.k.a. chemtrails, that cloud up the blue sky. Now, they're doing this for a few reasons. One is that they need to dim the sunlight because they cannot take it. Melanin receptive people cannot take direct sunlight like they used to. Number two, they're trying to hide a lot of stuff going on above our heads. Okay, you got Nibiru and many satellites, which are now visible with the naked eye from Australia, South Africa, and other southern points of the planet. Even South America and Tierra del Fuego, you can see Nibiru and some of the satellites, okay? Also, the chemicals that they're using are very, very toxic, so they make us sick. People have more bronchial issues, skin irritations, and all kinds of stuff. It has also been reported that there are very large motherships. Yes, you heard me, motherships, spaceships in our skies, and they don't want everybody to see them because they think we're going to freak out and panic. I don't know why we'd freak out and panic. Number one, where are we going to go? We on Earth. Where are we going? No need to panic. Nine times out of ten, the extraterrestrials who are on those ships are melanin-dominant anyway. So we don't really have anything to worry about, okay? But they are there. There are large ones and there are small ones. Some of them are so big, they're having a hard time cloaking. Real talk. Again, I say, the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show is not for the faint of heart, honey. And you can go and look up all the stuff I'm talking about. All right, you can Google Nibiru, which is also known as Wormwood or the Ninth Planet. Okay, it's back. It's here. It has many moons and satellites associated with it. People are seeing them. It's not a joke. It's not a game. And a lot of women can even feel it. Even if we can't see it, we can feel it. Certain days, we can just feel it. We know there's something up there. It just, you don't feel the same. And I am never one to discount my intuition and how I feel. I don't discount that. All right? So be aware. All right? And Earth is not that big. I mean, not that small, excuse me. So they can't spray every sky around the whole planet 24/7. So, yeah, you know, people are seeing things. And then you have to ask yourself, all right, why are all the wealthy white people going up in spaceships? What's so big about that? Why are they doing so much of that now? Why has there been so much activity with the International Space Station lately? Okay, they just sent up a whole group of people last week, and they're about to return. I think they returned yesterday. All right? And if you get an opportunity, look up EBE-1. Capital EBE-1. EBE-1 was an extraterrestrial entity that we had captured after the spaceship crashed in Roswell. So we had him from 1947 to 1952. Okay? It could speak. It could let us know that it had a soul. We gained a lot of intelligence. Our government gained a lot of intelligence from EBE-1. Okay? It's even sat in on top secret meetings. I have pictures of EBE-1 in the slideshow of today's show. All right? So if you go to blogtalkradio.com/NeoNationNetwork and you get to episode 90 of the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show, you're going to see some pictures of EBE-1, okay? They even have a picture of him with a turtleneck on. I'm not joking. I'm not joking. All right? Also, the sun is carrying on. We've got a lot of solar flares coming off the sun, okay? Lots and lots and lots of solar flares. Solar flares are information. How about that? Now, I'm going to take a slight diversion. Way back in the day, you had a pharaoh king named Akhenaten. Some people say he was also Moses. I'm still looking into that. But Akhenaten was the one who changed the primary deity of the pantheon of Kemet from Amun to Aten. Aten is the sun. He changed the primary deity to the sun because he knew that without the sun in the sky, Earth would not be able to hold and harbor life. Humans would die. All plant life would die. Things would just die off without the sun. And so he theorized that it was the sun that we need to pay homage to, not necessarily Amun. And, of course, he was called a heretic and all kind of stuff, blah, 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 blah. But Akhenaten's son was Tutankhamun or Tutankhaten. They changed his name back from Tutankhaten to Tutan. Yeah, I always get mixed up because it's such an... But Tutankhamun, okay, King Tut. King Tut is Akhenaten's son. Very interesting time in the dynasties of Kemet. Very, very interesting time. He even moved the capital to Amenta, which was in between Luxor and Thebes. Very, very interesting. Because the sun gives us life. Not just information, but life. It helps to grow all the vegetables and the fruit that we eat. Like, think about it. So I had to share that with you real quick. But there's a lot that's going on in the sky. What we need to hope is that we do not get any CMEs, that we do not get any coronal mass ejections, because those things have the power to fry our entire electric grid worldwide. Okay? And lastly, just to keep this in your consciousness, don't forget that Donald Trump tried to help to implement the Space Force. If we're supposed to be alone out here, why would we need a Space Force? Because we're not. We're not alone, okay? There was even a huge expose done on our moon, and there were huge buildings that were found on the moon, buildings and temples found on the moon, and pyramids on Mars. So put that feather in your cap. Research it when you get a minute, but... You know, there's a lot that's going on, and try not to get yourself overly caught up in the propaganda that we are drowning in. Try not to get yourself too hung up in that, because a lot of that stuff is not necessarily real. But what I mentioned to you tonight is so real and so fierce. And if we do not get a hold of ourselves, if we do not begin to cherish and love our melanin, aside from the fact that melanin is now over $400-something per gram, it was $320 about 4 years ago. Now it's over $480 a gram for melanin. We're a commodity. Yes, the melanin in our skin. Just so you know, everyone has melanin. Even melanin recessive people have melanin. They just don't have it on the surface of their skin. But they have it in their eyes, they have it in their ears, they have it in their tongue. You can't taste anything if you don't have melanin in your tongue. You can't hear anything without the melanin pools that are in your ears. And in the back of your brain, there's a pool of liquid melanin. Most vertebrates have melanin. You can't exist without it. It's just whether or not you have it in your skin. And so because we're living in the age of racism, which is a construct, it's not real. There also isn't anything that's supreme about being white. If anybody was really supreme, it's us. It's the melanin-dominant entity. And even we're not running around talking about that. Not that we should, but I'm just saying, we're not running around talking about, oh, black supremacists, we're this, you don't hear that. So when you hear white supremacy, just realize that you're hearing fear. They're afraid to be genetically annihilated. But I already know we're eternal souls. So if they're going to come back, they'll come back as melanin dominant if that's the case. Why are you trying to eradicate a whole bunch of people? Oh, because this is a war against good and evil. This is a war over love and hate. This is a war that we're in. And because we're the light holders and the light bearers, the negative entity, okay, wishes to snuff us out. So cherish your melanin, love each other, respect and honor who you are as a melanin-dominant human, that you were blessed to be melanated this heavily in this lifetime. Give thanks for that. And share this information with your friends and your family so we do not become eradicated, so that we are just not wiped off the face of the earth. Because I'm telling you, if we go, everybody's going to go. Because you can't take the light. Because darkness will not prevail. So think about that for a minute. And I am going to open up Dr. Line. Dr. Winborn, I see you. 973-640. 973-640. Alamo, are you with me?
I was just with you. Peace, Queen. Can you hear me?
Peace, Doc. Peace, peace. How you doing this week? I'm glad you're feeling better.
I am feeling much better. I got a lot of, you know, some needed rest.
Good.
After a whirlwind this month. You know, though, you know, I ain't as young as I used to be, so every now and then I gotta chill, for lack of a better term.
That's right.
So, but I'm back now, and I'm grateful for everyone that was praying for me and wishing me well. Thank you very much.
Yes, indeed. Now,
and as always, observing and sucking up all of this knowledge that you are blessing us with. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. As I mentioned in the beginning, I'm just very grateful to you and Reverend Robinson for allowing me to have this platform. So I thank you for that. And, you know, I know that a lot of the information I have shared, you are aware of, you know, whether it's melanin or even the extraterrestrial entities and all these types of things that are going on right now and how they are trying to diverge our attention away from what's really important and what's really happening, you know, and getting us all swallowed up in other people's business and, you know, these other things are getting us to, you know, cry and be, you know, so inundated with what's going on in Ukraine. And I'm like, nah, not me, not my household. Sorry.
All right.
Sorry.
Right. Yeah. No, I had to tell somebody that the other day. I'm like, listen, I cannot get caught up in this white-on-white crime. I'm not supporting either side. You know, I'm just still trying to do what I need to do to protect our people. And so, you know, we look and we see what's going on, and we look and we see how they treat different people. And what it comes back to is something that you said, is that we have to come to the clear understanding that they don't care about us.
Mm-hmm.
They're concerned and care about everyone, but they don't care about us. So the question then becomes is why? What is it about us that have caused you to have such a disdain when we've done absolutely nothing to you? No, all we've tried to do is live life comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And the only mistake that we really made was thinking that if we integrated, you would understand and see and respect us for who we are. But that
Come
has
on.
Not happened. And so, you know, we're getting to a place now where we have awoken. And we're kind of like, all right, then, well, you know, we tried to be nice. We tried to do this, that, and the other. and you rejected us, so F you. We we will be a better people if we are by ourselves and with ourselves and supporting ourselves and doing for ourselves. We was before, and I believe that we can again. You know, I also heard you talking about light and information. And part of this awakening that we are experiencing is because we are the recipients of new light code information. So because everything is spinning, and since we have spun into a new dispensation or a new age or a new millennium, however way you want to identify it, we are getting new information because we're getting different light. Is hitting us because we're in a different spot. I don't know if I'm making sense to people or not, but because we're in a different spot, we're getting different light code information, which is awakening up the planet, and people are beginning to really see and understand what is going on to the point now we can have conversations and we can say stuff like Nibiru and people not bug out or look at us like we're stupid and crazy. They have no idea what we're talking about, like people used to do 20 years ago when I started telling people about these things, or the Anunnaki, or things of that nature. You know, people have come around and they've heard this talk for so long now that no one is bugging out about it. In fact, you know, as I go online and I look at YouTube and TikTok, you have more and more people, like, awaiting the arrival.
Yes. Please believe it.
They are waiting. Like, they come in, and the whole thing is about to be up, and we about to show up.
Real talk.
This is what I'm hearing more and more and more. Like you said, people, depending on where you are in the world, you can see these things.
Yes. There's a brother on TikTok. He's called Nine Ether Carbon Being, and he has some of the best. Ooh, his videos are really, really poignant. They're really on point. And he had a video for people in Australia, and you can see Nibiru, like it's huge coming up the horizon. The people on the beach just playing around on the beach, and all of a sudden they notice it. It's huge. It's big, like it's here. You know what I'm saying? We've been tracking this now for a while. I remember when I first saw it in 2010 coming across the desert, and I was like, whoop, wait a minute, and I could see it. I was in the south, and we were on tour, and I was on the bus, and I'm like, wait a minute. And I saw it, you know, but it was really small at the time. And, of course, as it's been getting closer and closer, of course, it gets bigger in our vision. So, you know, that's something that is poignant. And again, they're trying to hide the sky from us, but you know, at certain times of day, if it's not sprayed, you can see something. You can see things, and people are seeing spaceships, you know, people are seeing like huge big motherships. It's not a joke. There's white folk that can even see the big ships. You know, there's one woman, she's got a whole channel on YouTube. She's been tracking this for a long time. She's not a joke either. You know, also brother, what's his name? Is it Rod Hayes, I think? I'm going to look. There's a brother, he goes in, and he's talking about, you know, the interplanetary connection and what's going on with Nibiru, how Nibiru's coming, the mothership is here. Not coming, the mothership is here.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. You know, and you've got to be... That other post that you sent me, that was so profound, and I'm glad I watched it, because that other post that you sent me, that got deleted by the end of the day that day.
Did it?
It got deleted. I was so upset because I tried to send it out to my people, and my girl hit me back, and she was like, it's gone. It's not there. And then when I had looked, you know, in my feed to see who I sent it to, it said, oh, this video is no longer available. I was PO'd because I was going to transcribe the whole thing with Dr. Steele.
No, I think I saved it to my hard drive. I think it's still there.
Okay, because that was fierce.
You talking about with the biologist, the doctor, the black lady? Yes, yes, yes. And, yeah, she broke the whole thing down, the difference between the DNA and the DEA.
Yes, yes.
Ribo-ethyl acid.
Yes, ethyl acid. I said, all right. She was just, oh, my goodness, I enjoyed her so much. She was powerful. I guess she was too powerful, you know, for what they, you know, they didn't want us to be aware of that. They don't want us to know that. They also don't want us to know about the venom. You
snake.
Know, and the snake venom. They don't want us to know about
snake.
That.
Right, they're giving everybody snake venom, yeah.
Also, I don't know. Oh, okay, so the white woman I was talking about, her name is Gina Maria Colvin, C-O-L-V-I-N, Hill. And she goes in on spaceships and things like that, but she also talks about the black goo, if you will, that has intelligence and it's magnetized, and they're
mm-hmm.
putting it into people's bodies.
Mm-hmm.
It's very
you know,
interesting.
Me
of Venom. It reminds me of the show Venom.
There's a brother.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of his name now, but the name of his site is called Forbidden Knowledge.
Okay. Oh yes. Talking about
number four. Bitten Knowledge,
mm-hmm.
and the brother, and he breaks so much of this stuff down.
Yes, he does.
Wow, what is his name? He wrote the book about the tablets, the Emerald tablets, the new
mm-hmm,
elixir.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I can see his face as clear as day.
Right. The young black brother.
And. Let me see if I can find it real quick. But keep talking.
Yeah. So I'm just saying that there are people out there that have come into this knowledge and they're not afraid to share it any longer.
No,
you know,
they're not afraid. His name is Billy Carson.
Billy Carson, that's right.
Yes, Billy Carson. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Word.
Follow that brother.
Yeah, follow that brother. And he's on Instagram family. He also has videos on YouTube. You know, he's not afraid. He's going in.
Right. Follow
you know,
him. I've seen him.
The other brother I was talking about was Rod Hayes, R-O-D-H-A-Y-E-S. He goes in. I think Rod is from, like, either Chicago or Detroit. He goes in. He's hardcore with it, but also. So, you know, if you don't want to hear nobody cussing, don't listen to him. Also, you got Bobby Hemmett.
Right.
Hemmett goes in on stuff. Like, people aren't playing anymore. And like I said, you can also look up Dr. Phil Valentine. He is going to break it down about light codes and information and how our brains work, who we are as melanin carbon beings, all of that kind of stuff. Like, it's not a secret, family.
No, no. And these people that you're talking about, I mean, like Dr. Phil Valentine, he is a pioneer.
Mm-hmm.
Been around forever. You think I've been talking about this for 20 years. He's been talking about it for 40.
Right.
Because when I came into the knowledge, he was one of my teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I remember times I felt like I kept that man on the phone for 3-4 hours until I felt bad. When I couldn't stop asking questions, and the more questions I asked, the more information he had. Dr. Valentine.
Oh, yeah, he's one of our most amazing scholars and NASA teachers at this point, and he's still alive, thank God. You know, he's in Florida. He's in, I think... he's either in Deltona or he's in DeLand. He's down in Florida, right under Daytona Beach. He lives there now, he and his wife, Dr. Nalani. And
Nalani.
Nalani.
They have the school now. They had a building here in Brooklyn. But the city gave them problems and stuff like that. But they got, I think, the school of metaphysics or something like that now.
Yes, the Comedic Institute. The University of Comedic Science.
Right. And he's
mm-hmm.
a fantastic book everyone should get called The Wounded Womb.
Yes. Yes.
Wounded Womb.
Yeah, that book is profound.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he just did a brilliant interview with Brother Rich on YouTube. Just put in Dr. Phil Valentine 2022. That was a powerful interview. I mean, he's powerful anyway because of the knowledge and the wisdom that he possesses. Phenomenal, phenomenal interview. Yep. That's what I'm telling people. Like, I mean, I don't say you can't watch TV or you can't watch a movie every now and then, but do yourself a favor and watch a lecture. Like, do yourself a favor, for real, and, like, watch an interview with these master teachers, because in a minute, they're all going to be censored in a minute. You know, they're already getting censored. The machine does not want them to continue to enlighten us in the way that they enlighten us. The machine doesn't want that. So they keep snatching videos and taking stuff off that people are posting that's viable. That video that you sent me last week, was I watched it at least 10 times. I just kept it on loop.
Mm-hmm.
Sent out to my conscious friends and individuals who I knew could handle it. I was sending it out to them, but like I said, they couldn't see it. I hope you find it on your hard drive. That video is power. And a lot of people, y'all ain't ready for it. That was deep. That was a heavy one. You know, and I'm all for everything else we're doing. I'm all for economic empowerment. I'm all for our growth and what have you. But I'm so serious. We got to get our spirit right.
Right.
You know, I'm like, get that right, everything else will come. Because if your spirit's not right, you can fall into a fortune and lose the fortune in a drop of a dime. If your spirit's not right or you're not ready, get your soul right. And to me, you get your soul right through enlightenment, meditation, focus on love and light and what is good, and also realizing that, again, the melanin that we possess is divine. It's a divine intelligence. Let it work for you. Don't be afraid of it. That's why so many of us are asleep, because people have all these hang-ups about being dark skin, about having thick lips and nappy hair. You better love who you, what the universe puts you in this lifetime. You're a powerful superhero, and you don't even know it. All these other superhero characters got to put on a suit to become super. You're already super. When you look at Iron Man, if you look at Ant-Man, you look at all these characters in Marvel and these other comics and what have you, they got to put on some kind of magical suit. Your melanin is your magical suit. Dig it? It's a divine intelligence. Be divine, family. Be divine. You know, Doc, if you don't mind taking a moment and just giving the audience a bit of conversation on the etheric envelope of the body and what we are, if you don't mind.
Well, you know, I have said for many years, you know, when I was in North Carolina, I taught a course called The Divinity of Dioxyribonucleic Acid, which I guess hindsight should have been ethereal acid. But basically what we're talking about is our divine makeup of who we are. And I think that if we understood the divinity of our biology, of our molecular structure, of the process of the six neutrons and protons, and how we are made up, and we understand the same things that have been taught in religion are the same things that have been taught in science. You know, in the book of Genesis, you know, the creation process and how things came into being is the same process of how elements came in being that we have on our periodic tables. So we understand these things. We'll understand better the divinity of who we are, that we are a huge man, you know, here in a prism. We show up in a prism, but we're really a divine entity. We are not the molecular structure that we see in reflection that's coming back. And those that are running things understand that. okay? Mm-hmm. Those that are running these understand that. That's why they create these fictitious entities that are called straw men. Why? Because they're trying to get to the soul. And if you
right.
don't realize that you are a soul, that you are a divine entity with the ability to do anything that you can imagine.
Come on.
And I hope that sinks into people. That you
mm-hmm.
can do anything that you can imagine because your whole life has been created by what you have imagined already.
Come on.
And you don't realize that you have created your own reality as you've gone along based on what your thought processes are. You've manifested that. You didn't realize this is what you were doing, but this is what you were doing because this is how the third dimension works. And these are the powers that you have as a God, as a co-creator with God. This is scripture that God is within. When you understand that we're all a part of the derivative and it's not religion, it's not spooky, it's not any of that. It is what it is.
Right, right. And I am that I am.
I am that I am. You can accept the fact and you can understand that there's a Nibiru out there. You can understand and you can accept the fact that there are Anunnakis or there have been Anunnakis and then there are remnants of the Nephilim and the offsprings and stuff that are still here.
Mm-hmm.
We have been locked out of our divinity. We've been locked out of our relationship to God, and we've been taught that God is some type of entity out there that we need to get to.
Right.
As opposed
right.
to understanding that you are God. We are all God. We are all derivatives of the One. And
indeed.
And when we know this, like we know the back of our hand, and you see I hesitate when I say that because a lot of us don't know the back of our hand.
Right, right.
Then we can begin to exercise and operate in that divinity, and the scriptures like greater things than these will you do will begin to make sense.
Right.
We are moving
right.
into that. We are waking up as a people because we have moved into a new millennium. And as you said earlier, we're getting different light code information. And those different light code information is waking us up because we're in the age of Aquarius. And age of Aquarius is the age of information.
Yes.
All right? And so we are, this is the results of that. Now, the other thing that I think is important, and I know that our time is up, that we should
it's
remember.
All right.
That not only is this the age of information, this is the beginning of that age. Each age lasts for 2,160 years, all right?
Yes, yes,
if,
and we are in the top.
Right, if we go by their counting, okay, and
mm-hmm.
so, and say that this is 2022, and we won't even talk about the fact that in Africa, some like in Ethiopia, it's 2014, but we won't even
right.
get into that. And
not right now.
Not right now. We just say that it's 2022, right?
Yes.
Which
yes.
means that we are only 22 years into a 2,160-year cycle.
Right.
We're
infant.
Waking up. We've just woken up, but we're not coherent yet. We still got the butter in our eyes. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
We're still discombobulated. We still kicking our toe against the table on our way to the bathroom. We up, we woke, but we just getting ourselves together.
Yeah, yeah. And then there are those of us who know, like myself, who were born in the late 60s, that we came to usher in this age. Like Brother Rod Hayes said, and I'm going to say this because this is how I feel. He said, I came in 10 toes down on the upright, okay? Like... came in 10 toes down on the upright, like I knew what was popping. I knew what was going on. I knew I was back. I knew I had a job to do. I was always that different kid. I was always doing stuff other little kids didn't get into or children didn't get into. I'm trying to stop saying kids because they're not goats. You know, and that's also a part of the beast scheme is to call your children kids like they're little goats. Because the head of the Baphomet is the head of a goat. But anyway, that's a sidebar. Ultimately, you know, I've always been very spiritually connected. You know, I even knew the BS in church, so to speak. I knew it when I was a little child. My mother would get upset with me sometimes, but we sitting in the pew, and I'm like, that's not right. I'm not, no way. I'm six. I'm like, that ain't right. That's a lie, you know, and all these types of things. So as time went on, you know, my vocabulary increases. I'm reading more. You know, I'm going to continue to seek the truth. I am a truth seeker. And I've had readings that even explain that I'm a golden seeker. Like, this is what I'm here to do. And it was very important for me to align myself with a counterpart that could accept that in me. They didn't necessarily have to be just like me, but as long as they could acknowledge it and accept it in me. And so I give thanks for that in my husband because, you know, I say stuff sometimes and he's like, I don't know anything about that. And I'm like, I understand, and it's okay. You know, if you want to know, I'll tell you some more. And sometimes he does, but he respects that he knows who I am. And I'm grateful for that because not a lot of people have that. And individuals that share intellectual prowess like us, like yourself, like myself, that can go into the far reaches of the universe with regard to energy and planetary systems and metaphysics and, you know, all these laws, the universal laws and everything. A lot of people can't handle that because, again, we're in the beginning of the age of Aquarius. So those of us that knew the mission from before the age of Aquarius beginning, we knew that this was our mission to help usher this in, to help enlighten humankind, to help, if you will, raise the frequency of other melanin-dominant individuals, so that we can get through the threshold, so that we can make it to the fifth dimension, because we're on a journey to move into the fifth dimension. That's why you had that band, the fifth dimension, in the 70s trying to tell us about the age of Aquarius. That was very special.
Right.
That was a special time. And the fact that that message actually got out, the fact that that song was written and produced and performed and recorded, and we still have it to listen to. I urge this audience, go back and listen to the song, The Age of Aquarius, by the Fifth Dimension. You can even look up the lyrics. You can Google the lyrics. Very powerful, very true, and right now it's popping. It's happening right now.
And mind you, now, they wrote that song back in the 70s.
Yes. They wrote that song in the 70s. I was a little girl when that song came out. That song became my anthem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that song will be played at my funeral, okay? It's one of my songs. Like, that, Star Child, there's a lot of songs that are my song. Real talk, this is what we're doing, and there are certain souls that exist on Earth that are far more benevolent, very, very loving and caring and protective, would never do harm to an animal or another person. There are millions of us with this type of energy. And no, we may not be riding around in Maseratis and we don't live in mansions and maybe we haven't even written a million books, but the light that we carry is important and it is felt by other entities without words. You step into a room and they feel you. They know. And that is where we are. That is what this show is about. That is what even the Neo Nation Network is about. We're trying to enlighten and not just educate, because educate comes from educare, which means to bring something out from within. Everything you know is within you, but we are attempting to enlighten you and help you to evolve as a soul so that you don't go through a whole lot of drama, so that you don't continue to, quote-unquote, stub your toe on the bedpost on the way to the bathroom, so that you're aware and you can see and be aware even in the dark that you know what is what. You know, I have some people that I counsel going through some serious drama, and I keep reiterating that you got to get out of your head. You got all these thoughts bouncing around in your head, and you seem to be punishing yourself with your own thoughts. I'm like, you got to reprogram yourself. You have to reprogram another dynamic for yourself. That's how you can move from one level to a higher level. But if you believe, like you said a little while ago, that the universal creature's creator, a.k.a. God, goddess, is this thing outside of you that is punishing you or, you know, making judgment on you and all this, then you're going to reap what you sow. We have to program a new reality for ourselves. We have the power to do it. It is within us. It is within us. It's not outside of us. It's nowhere outside of us. It's inside of us. That's what makes us so special. That's also why they're trying to kill us all. But that's what makes us divine and special. And we have to learn how to find that light and sit in it and program a new reality for ourselves. Because if we continue to move with the beast, then the only thing you can do is become a beast.
Right.
You won't become a god. You won't become something bigger and better than yourself. That energy, that most high energy is inside of you. We have to get there through a spiritual enlightenment and evolution. And it's destined for us. You know, so we're not powerless. We're not flimsy little lumps of clay. If you want to be, sure, you could be a flimsy lump of clay, be programmed by the matrix and just, you know, be succumbing to all the stupidity it has to offer. Or you can move within it without being a part of it. Like, I am in it, but I'm not of it. That's something that we learn in metaphysics. Like, you're in it, but you're not of it.
That's scripture. To be in the world, but not of the world.
Okay.
You know, that's Bible. Be ye separated.
Come on.
So, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I just, you know. And I want to give a super shout out to Sister Jan. I got Sister Jan on the show tonight. She's loving every minute of it, and I'm very grateful. I'm happy. Like I said, I don't need to reach a million people. If I even touch two people, I'm happy. But the main thing is for us to receive this information and to know that we're blessed and divine in our own right, and all we got to do is move and do in that. Just be it. Just be it. You know, anyone going through a hard time right now, you can change that. There's no one, there's no curse on you. There's no thing that wishes to punish you and make you suffer in this way. You need to change your mind dynamic and embrace the divinity in yourself in order to rise out of whatever pain or mental anguish you're in. Because you are running the show. This is one of the few situations when you are the director, the star of your own movie. You run ting. Nobody else is doing it. You're doing it. By the grace of the Almighty, which we are connected to. You can't not be connected to it. It bothers me when people say that I hope God sees me. How can God not see you? Did you see yourself in the mirror this morning when you woke up? That's God. That's God brushing his teeth. We are a physical manifestation of that energy. And that energy is experiencing and expressing itself through and with us. And what we think and what we believe is what will be. So if you can change what you think and if you can alter what you believe and come into a knowing, then you will have more power that you can actualize and know that you're responsible for the actualization of that power. And I hope I'm really saying that correctly, Doc, but because a lot of us don't feel that we're orchestrating our life. I'm like, we are.
Right. We are. And they think that their life is depending on circumstances outside of themselves. And they really are not. But that's kind of like a hard lesson to get, you know, that you are or have contributed to your life. You know what I mean? Your success and or failures based on what you've been thinking. And and the actions that you took. Consciousness and energy creates all reality. Consciousness and energy creates all reality.
I say.
What you're conscious of, what you think about, and then what you put your energy towards, how you apply your energy towards those thoughts, how you apply your energy towards that consciousness, it is that which is creating your reality.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard you earlier to say that, saying that we live in the now. Well,
mm-hmm.
we do live in the now because everything, the past, present, and the future is right here in the now. It's in the moment. Because
mm-hmm.
as I'm speaking to you, when the words leave my mouth, they're already in the past before they could get to you. It's present. You understand what I'm saying? So everything is happening in the now. Think about time, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We measure time by movement, okay? By movement.
Mm-hmm.
And since we live in the now, we don't have a concept of first movement because the first movement is in the now. We don't start timing it until we get to the second because we have no concept of the first.
Come on. Come
so,
on. Say that one more time just because I need people to really get that one. Go ahead.
That we live in the now because we have no concept of the first because the first is now. So when we try to time it, we keep time in second movements because the first movement is in the now. So it takes 20 seconds.
Mm.
It takes 60 seconds to make a minute. It takes 60-second movements because we don't have a first because the first is in the now. But with 60-second
mm-hmm.
movements, it'll give us a minute, the minute period of time, because it's not real. So if we're living in the now, you don't have to wait until you get rich to receive the results of it. Start living in that richness or that abundance now and then watch it come and manifest.
Talk about it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's one of the hardest things that people, I think, have to grasp.
To grasp, right.
Yeah.
So the scripture helps us out. So the scripture says to say, let the weak say, I'm strong.
Right.
Right? So
right.
What is that? That's the manifesto. You're putting it out there in order to manifest, in order to make it happen. And you can do that with anything, again, when we understand the concept of living in the now. So it's live as you anticipate, okay? Live
mm-hmm.
like you want to live, not like you think your circumstances are. And you begin
right.
to live that way, begin to feel that way, begin to tell yourself that, those things will begin to come. Those things that are associated with it will begin to manifest it. So
mm-hmm.
those are
yes,
the
indeed.
Right. Those are the rights that you have of understanding who you are and living in the now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is within. So seek
within.
First the kingdom of God and all
mm-hmm.
his righteousness. Okay, and his right shall be added unto you. So what is the righteousness? The rights that come along with understanding who you are.
Right.
And what is one of those rights that you get to manifest your reality? It's not easy, but you do get to manifest your reality. You work on it, and over time, you get better and better and better.
Right, exactly, exactly. Yes, indeed. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, we could go on and on and on and on about this. It is 9:17, but I see I'm so grateful for everybody that's still, like, you know, called in on the queue because I know that online it gets cut off at the designated time. But everybody that's still in the queue, I hope you are getting these jewels and that you're able to reflect upon this after the show is over, in weeks ahead, months ahead, years ahead, that you're able to even share this with your friends and family. Like, the information that we bring forth is not a game. We're very serious about it. I am so for the freedom, the mental and spiritual freedom of our people, so that we can ascend and we can evolve. And again, we can move into the fifth dimension. And eventually we will. As Doc said, we are only in year 22 of the age of Aquarius, excuse me. All right? We have 2,160 years within the age. So we are in a very embryonic stage, if you will. But we all know that that embryo grows into that fetus. That fetus grows into that person, that being, that entity. And we can do it. We have the power to do it. The power is within us. It is not outside of us. So again, I say, and I said this to one of my clients the other day, ain't nobody coming swooping down on a cloud to save you. You save yourself by what you think and what you focus on.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, like, you know, we do, it's difficult. People have a hard time really trying to understand that. You know, I'm like, even with astrology, when we're born, okay, when we're in the ethereal realm, okay, we're in the ancestral realm because you are your ancestors. When we're in the ancestral realm as spirit and we decide to come back into an incarnation, into a person, we're choosing our parents, we're choosing our quote-unquote landing date, which is your birth date. We're choosing that. And as you choose that, you choose that birth chart that goes along with that birth date. Because your birth chart is your whole blueprint of what you may or may not do within this incarnation. So I have some individuals who have really fierce charts. Like, their chart lends itself towards emotional struggle. But I keep saying, when you're in spirit realm, you know you're boundless. You know that there's nothing you can't do. And so some of us will incarnate into a challenging lifetime only to overcome it. Not to suffer from it and fall apart. No, to overcome it. Because some of us really want that challenge. If you keep coming back into a body, if you keep incarnating, and we know we're here to grow, we know we have to evolve, we have to experience things, we're going to be male, we're going to be female, sometimes we're going to give birth, sometimes we're not going to give birth. Sometimes we're going to have children as men. Sometimes we're not going to have children as men. We're going to go through different lifetimes in order to evolve and to gain as much enlightenment as possible. So some of us will choose a wild chart just for the challenge. And so hence I'm reminding these individuals, like, this is the path you chose. You chose it because you knew you could overcome it. So I need you to step it up so you can overcome it. Because you didn't come here to drown in it. You came here to overcome it. And you just so happen to like a challenge. I'm like, embrace it and grow. You're not being punished. It's what you chose. Why are you going to punish yourself for what you chose? Face the challenge and overcome. And that's what we do. Until the next time. I'm Amina in this life. Okay, great. But I won't be Amina in my next life. I doubt that highly. I don't think I've had this name more than one time. So, you know what I mean? Like, we have to realize that we come and go from this place. And we evolve as a soul as a result of the coming and going from this place. And it's all right. And if it ain't all right, make it all right. Because you have the power to do it. So do you have anything else you want to add, Doc? Reverend's going to kill me because I didn't bring him on this week, but he had a nice moment last week. He took up for your absence last week.
He did it. All right, then. No, I'm good.
Thank you so much for joining us this week, Doc. You know, I'm going to continue to go in on stuff, and I also want to have a moment where you are able to talk about your new book that you're completing. I want the family to know about that. You know, Dr. Winborn is no game, y'all. The knowledge and the wisdom that he possesses and that he's able to put into literature is astounding. All right? So, you know, when it comes out, you definitely got to cop it. But I want to talk about that in some of the shows to come. Okay, Doc?
Indeed. Absolutely. Appreciate that.
No doubt. No doubt. You have a great week. Continue to get your rest and you know, get your relaxation on because you've been grinding. You know, family, Dr. Winborn is the president of the Ethiopian World Federation, and they're doing a lot of beautiful, profound things throughout our diaspora, including with Native American clans throughout this country and other groups all around the world. So the Ethiopian World Federation show, she still comes on. Sadie comes on Saturday?
On Sunday night. On Sunday.
Sunday night. What time?
From 7 to 9, Sunday p.m., Sunday evenings.
Yeah, on Blog Talk Radio on the Neo Nation Network, family. So peep that show as well. There are a lot of really great shows with amazing content on the Neo Nation Network through Blog Talk. So, you know, not just my show, but many, many other shows are very enlightening. A lot of them deal with economic empowerment. And, you know, how to get yourself out of financial ruin, how to, you know, raise up from poverty, all these types of things. So, you know, please support this network. And I just give thanks. As I always say, please, if you need some beautiful music in your life, go to SoundCloud.com and look up DJ Pitch Control, PYTCHCONTROLL. My husband and I just did an amazing headphone party at the IQ Cigar Lounge up here where we live, and it was banging on Saturday. We had a nice turnout. Everybody had a great, great time, and both of us were spinning at the same time on different channels. He's on Channel Blue. I'm on the Red Channel, and everybody had a really beautiful time. So I always post those in my Facebook and my Instagram, so follow me on those, and you know, just live your best life, family, okay? We're not here to suffer. We're here to evolve and to live beautiful, glorious lives. Make sure that you are programming your reality with love and light, and you're using your divine light for goodness and to love others and to enlighten each other, okay? We're on a mission over here, all right? Like I said, the mission is not to get the bag. You can get the bag, but that's not the mission, all right? The mission is for you to evolve consciously as an enlightened being, and this is what this network and this show is about. So I give thanks. Happy birthday to all the Tauruses. I want to give a super shout out to my sister Adrienne. Happy birthday, Pumpkin, and all the other Tauruses. It's your season. Happy birthday. And I'm going to try to get some more information on the planetary alignment that we're in right now for my sister Ty Phoenix. Check out Ty Phoenix on Instagram, T-I-Y-E, Phoenix like the bird, P-H-O-E-N-I-X. She's also a dope rapper, but she is amazing master astrologer. So she also does readings and what have you if you need to get a reading, if you need your chart done, things like that. She's very, very amazing. She's amazing. She's a master astrologer. No game, no joke, no drill, okay? Also, support each other, all right? If you know of another good black business, support that business, family. Spread the information about that business. Go out of your way to support your people, okay? And let's increase our own economic empowerment within our diaspora and within our own communities and what have you. Because, again, like I say, ain't nobody else looking out for us. So we have to look out for each other. I am my brother's keeper. I am my sister's keeper. Y'all should be too, all right? Be blessed and be amazing. Have a beautiful week, family. God is willing, I'll be back next week. Same beautiful Nubian time, same beautiful Nubian channel. And, again, check out Ashton Smith's book, Swimming Upstream, give me a minute, To Realize the Dream. That's the name of the book, Swimming Upstream, To Realize the Dream. She's on Amazon.com. phenomenal sister. Definitely, overcoming some serious challenges right now. But with the help of the family, we're going to help her to achieve more dreams. And like I said, I feel like she should be an awesome swim coach. That's what I think she should do, aside from being a motivational speaker. You know, she's got a gift and a talent. She's won many, many gold medals in swimming through the Special Olympics. And although they treated her horribly, she's going to rebound from that, and she's going to make her mark on the world. So we bless her, and we uplift her, and, support her. Check her out on YouTube also. And like I said, we're one family, y'all, so let's take care of each other, all right? Y'all be blessed. Check out Reverend Ron Robinson's show. Check out Pastor Don CEO show on the Neon Nation Network. There's a lot going on this network. So, support us. Listen, share, everything. And we're going to make it, family. We're going to be all right, okay? Embrace the love and be that light. And please, watch out for the elderly. Take care of the babies. Protect the babies. Protect each other, all right? Let's have each other's back out here, all right? We're all we have. So let's definitely watch out for each other and be love and light wherever you are. All right? Love you all. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is the Black Alice in Wonderland Radio Show. You have been listening to Queen Amina. I give thanks and I give praise to the Almighty Creative Creator, and I thank all of you for being with us this week. All right? Have a blessed week, family. Stay amazing. One love.